The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. It's the show that loves to cause trouble, as did happen earlier today on Twitter, at least at the date that that I taped this thing. I had made a joke, as I tend to do on Twitter, at Rick Cheddar is where you can find that. Tim Tebow on this date had been cut by the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'd made a crack that, to wit, that he was really just short of a shoe salesman job of becoming a real-life Al Bundy. And it was a joke. It's, you know, but here's the thing. Somebody took umbrage with it, and probably rightfully so. And when they did, they wouldn't allow me to respond to them because they immediately blocked me from their feed. So he said something about how, you know, if Tim wasn't such the good Christian, instead of turning the other cheek, he would stomp my redneck ass. Right. I'm people get a lot of worked up over these things. I mean, first of all, it's the NFL, which is the first joke. Second of all, it's Tim Tebow. And that's you know, fill in your own joke on that as the case may be. All right, so here's the thing. I was out and about earlier in the week. I had some errands to run, and I wound up in this kind of a weird dystopian universe. All right, where are you going with this, Rick? Oh, I'll tell you. I was in need of some equipment. I needed to get I need to get a couple of computers. I'm having to get some stuff, so I went out to go check out some prices on some things. And of all places, and I have said this before on the air at Radio Memphis 1,000 times, that I would never set foot in a Walmart. That I don't like Walmart, and I don't give them money. Well, lo and behold, there I was. I was standing in the midst of a Walmart. I was only in there for maybe 20 minutes, tops. And after getting accosted by the sidewalk salespeople, somebody raising money for some charity or whatever the case may be. And I make my way into the place, and I go to the back of the store, which is where they keep their electronic equipment. Now, yes, I'm not going to buy a laptop from Walmart, but I wanted to see what they had. And I figured, you know, I'm there, I'll suck it up, I'll man up a moment, and we'll just sort it out and we'll see what's going on. And when I got in there, I was, now keep in mind, I haven't set foot in a Walmart in probably 18 months or something like that. So I go into this place, and my senses are assaulted. Flat out, just absolutely ridiculously assaulted with, you know, all the things that that you see, and you know, the things that you see on social media, the jokes about the people of Walmart. I mean, there's some of that was there. I think a lot of that is kind of fake, but nevertheless, what I was trying to describe this when I got home to my wife. I said, you know, being in the Walmart to me is in my mind, it would be like what if Facebook was a place, if Facebook was a thing you could go to, a destination, not just some social media thing. And you went in and there were all of these people and their points of view and their things and their talking and their stuff and this weird consumerism thing going on. That's what Walmart was for me. It was this very strange place for me, and I never felt more out of place than I did at that moment. And this is one of those Walmarts that has a grocery store, so there was, you know, all that going on, and then there's, you know, kids just running amok up and down the quote unquote toy aisle, and people over there shopping for clothes. I mean, doing what they do, and I know you go to Walmart because of the prices and the deals that you can get, and that's all well and good. You do what you got to do. But by God, you know, with everything that you that you can learn about a company like Walmart and realize just how just effed up the whole thing is. It's terrifying, absolutely horrifying. And it's when you see it come to life that way, that to me is what Facebook is like when it's alive like that. So, you know, with all that being said, you just have to suck it up, I guess. And I don't, I already have an issue with people like that, crowds, things. And I went back there and I saw, I've been looking for a laptop. I ultimately got one, not from there, but I ultimately bought one online. Yeah, well, I was just shopping. And it's funny because I was halfway expecting to see brands that nobody would really consider, you know, because they pride themselves on their prices. It's the Walmart guarantee. You're not going to find a better deal on this, that, or the other. And I was when I was walking back there, and I see, you know, of course you see all the signs, you know, for everything they have, the rollback prices and everything is cheaper and blah blah blah. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm about to encounter a row of laptops that would be like along the lines of like the way the Chinese have knockoff things that they sell back to Americans. You know, why buy a Sharpie, you know, a Sharpie pen when you could buy a Shorpie? I actually own a Shorpie. So I thought maybe I would walk back there and I would see like a Bell laptop or like a, you know, a Henderson Pack Mule, their version of HP, you know, you see what I'm saying? Instead of a Chromebook, it might be a Dome book, you know, that sort of thing. So I wasn't that far off of it because there were some things, they had some tablets in there that looked kind of halfway decent, but at the same, and they were cheap prices, but you know, you get what you pay for when it comes to this sort of thing. And they're certainly not any different. And you're looking at a $25 tablet and you're thinking, oh Jesus, what are you getting for $20? And it's like, you know, Bob's tablet, you know, it has this, you don't know who it is. You don't know who makes the thing. You don't know what it's capable of. They don't tell you what the processor is. They don't have all of that, you know, going for it. So you don't know is what I'm getting at. So ultimately, of course, I didn't give them my money. I'm not going to. I just wanted to see. And when I got back into the parking lot and I got into but between the door, the front door of the store and my car along the sidewalk, there's two entrances. There's the food side and then there's the stuff side. And on by each front door was a picnic table type of thing set up. And there were these ladies that were sitting there, were raising money for some church. A little, I don't know, help us, you know, put a new roof on the joint, whatever the case may be. And as I walked by, they were like, sir, would you like to contribute to my church? Would you like to help us out? You know, I was like, no, thank you. You ladies have a nice day. And I kind of looked back behind me as I was walking away, and they cast this incredibly wary, dirty look at me. It's like, you bastard, you should have given some money to us. You know, look at this. Who does he think he is? First of all, this is East Memphis. And those of you who don't listen to this podcast in the Memphis area, don't live here and don't quite understand it, East Memphis it's a world in and of itself. This is strictly my estimation. I run with no filters. I don't care if I insult anybody if you live around these parts, but it works kind of like this. East Memphis, in my mind, is Euro trash. They don't think of, well, you know, yeah, if I have to live in Memphis, I'm going to live in East Memphis. Oh my God, you went downtown. Oh Jesus, I wouldn't even, you know, travel any further, you know, further west than the, you know, the I-240 interchange. It just, you know, they don't get it. They don't have a clue. I live in Midtown, right in the middle of the damn city, and they think that I'm just like in a crime zone. My back door is open right now. There's nothing going on. There's a bunch of drunks out here. Of course, I live in an arts district, so everybody's like, hey, how y'all doing? You might hear that later if you're lucky. So I ultimately get to my car, and I'm sitting there for a moment contemplating what I had just witnessed inside the store and on my way out. And it renewed my faith in my decision that I should never, ever set foot in Walmart again. Even if it's the only place in the world that I have to get something, I would live without it. then go into that horrendous place. And it's not any one thing I can put my finger on. It's not the people. It's not the stuff. It's not the color of the. It's all of it. It's the color of the building. It's every bit of it. The only thing about, you know, the only Walmart property I would probably even remotely consider doing business with is Lowe's. I don't know if you knew that or not, but Lowe's is owned by Walmart. It's a subsidiary. They run the whole thing. They run the same thing. Just look at the colors. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's the same damn joint. But it just doesn't have all the weirdness that is associated with Walmart. So, you know, I left there with some knowledge as to, you know, what I was going to have as far as computers went. I was, you know, checking prices, checking stuff, thinking I might have an option. I might get lucky. Wasn't the case. So near there, actually across the road, is a shopping mall that when I first moved here some 20-something years ago was a big deal. It's a beautiful place. It's a shopping mall called the Wolf Chase Galleria. Those of you in town know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an East Memphis mainstay. It's been around a long time. Kind of a groovy spot. It's got a Malco movie theater thing. It's got, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 screens in there. They got a food court. It's a 2-story mall. It's anchored by a Dillard's on one end and a Sears. This place has 2 Dillard's. That's how cool it is. I think it's 2 Dillard's. One for the men and one for the ladies. We have segregated Dillard's in these parts because we're sexist like that. I think it's 2. Anyway, so I come in on the side. I remember there was a Ruby Tuesday there at one point, which was at that time when I lived over there. I actually did kind of live not far from there originally. They had this really cool deal. You could get this endless barrel of beer for, like, I don't know, $5. And they had some decent food and stuff. But that place had turned into some tchotchke shop. And so I thought, well, you know, as I was driving through the parking lot, I thought, you know, I haven't been in here in years. I've already gone through the whole Walmart experience. Let me go ahead and walk through this shopping mall. Let me tell you something, folks. When you hear of people discussing the death of the shopping mall and that people are trending away from it, it is very true. Now, of course, now where I live now, there is one. My studio where I work at is very close to another mall. It's a smaller mall. I haven't been in there forever either, and I'm sure it's all sort of the same. But you know, when these places are built, you know, they're purpose built for this for consumerism. Flat out, you're going to buy, you're going to get some stuff. You know, you got all these shops under one roof. And while you're there, you get a little tired. You can sit down in one of their comfortable benches. Perhaps make your way over to the food court, have you one of those Sbarro pizzas, remember those? Which were actually kind of halfway decent. Orange Julius was my favorite. Their secret ingredient, by the way, I'll let you in on it. Their secret ingredient at the Orange Julius was vanilla extract. Just a little dash of vanilla extract in your orange juice and a little ice, and boom, you're off and running. So that's what that was. So anyway, I decide to park. I go into the mall. And I'm walking. I start at the upper level. Although I'm going to kind of make the loop. I'll walk and just look. Just see what's going on. And it's like a lot of malls where the upper level is basically a balcony, right? And there's stores that line the sides. Clothing stores for the most part. Crap. There was a Spencer's Gifts in there. There's a bookstore. I don't even remember. I mean, it was like accessories for the little girls, that kind of thing. First of all, there was nobody in this place. And within a few moments, I realized I felt like I was, it felt to me as though I was in a, you know, a stranger in a strange land, if you will. If I was some sort of an explorer that had happened across some civilization that may or may not exist anymore. It's so hard to really pinpoint exactly what I was feeling at that time, because it was so strange. So bizarre. And I remember places like that were always busy. There was always something going on. There was, you know, you had the little old ladies that would walk the mall walkers, and they would go around the loop, you know, and the little ladies in their sweatpants. while their husbands were seated on some, you know, bench or a chair reading a paper. It wasn't even that anymore. And so anyway, I make my way down to one end. I take the escalator downstairs, and that's where the fountains are. And there's another food court type thing. And then that's where all in the middle, in between the stores, you have those kiosks. And there's a guy that sells jewelry. There's another guy selling mobile phones. There was a perfumery, but it wasn't any perfumery. It was somebody that would craft a fragrance right there on the spot, so you could get a knockoff if you wanted to. And I noticed that everybody there, all the employees of these places, all of them, every single one of them, they never knew that I'd walked by. I was sort of invisible. I'm not saying this is in a bad way. I mean, it's not like they weren't doing their job. I mean, there was no job to do. They were just sitting there. There was some poor bastard that was sitting there trying to sell fudge that he had made all day. But there was nobody there. And every one of these people that were sitting at their kiosks and sitting in their stores, and they were, you know, you'd look into the accessory stores, you know, the places that sell the little bracelets and stuff for the, you know, the little girls, you know, the things for their hair or the brushes and the mirrors and, you know, just, you know, stuff. Yeah, little kid crap that they sell. And they sell a shitload of it usually because, you know, these kids got to get that from somewhere. And even the employees there, they were all doing the same thing. They were seated behind their counter near their register with a smartphone in their hand or with a tablet in their hand, and they were all watching something, playing on social media perhaps. And there were a couple of people that had headphones in, not just earbuds, but headphones like I wear, you know, big bulky headphones, watching a movie. I mean, what the hell else are you going to do if you're stuck in a job like that for 4 or 5 hours a day waiting for your shift change? You know, there's some guy snacking on a sandwich that he got, you know, down at the food court because they're bored stupid over there. There wasn't hardly anybody by the food court. And these folks are all sitting there with the same thing going on, that same look in their eye, that they've just disappeared from their reality in this mall, and they were just consumed by what they had seen. It's strange because in the rest of the world, and you keep remembering and you keep reminding yourself when you walk through a shopping mall like that, that outside in the quote unquote real world, there are things going on. There's cars driving by. There's an ambulance that goes by. There's somebody under some medical distress, so an ambulance gets called. There's people are running in and out of a gas station. There's life going on. But when you step into the shopping mall, and this is like 2:30 in the afternoon, granted, you know, not necessarily a busy time, but I mean, it was sad. And it wasn't so sad that there was like a consumerism thing. It was just like this is what this has turned into, because these places, these malls, they were all built in mind to be like these cathedrals to consumerism. And they did a fine job of it, and they ran for decades. And all of these wonderful things that had happened, and these were the places you went and you took your kids, you know, the little ones, when Christmas time was coming, because, you know, Santa Claus, you know, that's where you go see Santa. You know, you and your friends, your buds, we'd all meet up at the mall. That's what you did. Yeah, you know, that there was a movie theater at one end. There was a food court halfway through it. You know, you go catch a movie, head over to the food court, have a bite to eat, and then wander the mall and people watch and make fun of other people. And you know, you'd see these groups of girls that they would walk around, and they're all shopping. You know, for young guys, it's like, hey, we're going to the mall. That's where the broads are at. Not anymore. Not anymore. And then when you look at it like at on this scale, I mean, this is such a massive piece of property, a massive structure, that probably within the next 18 months is going to be vacant. Not being a doomsayer or a naysayer by any means, but people just don't go to malls anymore. Here in this town, we've had this problem with people getting excited about one thing or another, and they wind up shooting somebody in a shopping mall. So that drives away traffic. The strip center became king there for a bit And they still sort of are. There are several strip centers that become, you know, the thing, which is odd because you have the same thing as a mall just without a roof on it. And I don't know. I guess people like the idea that they can zip in and zip out and get what they need, and not have to worry about the other businesses around it. Because when you go to a shopping mall, you're assaulted by everything that's going on in that mall at that time. You know, whether it's you know, you go in. I said, look, I got to run over to the mall to get a pair of shoes. So I'm gonna head to the shoe store, and I'm gonna get my sneakers, and I'm gonna get what I need. And then when I get done with that, I may, hey, you know what? I could use a haircut, so I'm going to go down to the barber. So, you know, there was one thing that kind of led to another, which made these things work and which made these things tick. And it, right now, it just doesn't work that way anymore. People have gotten away from that. And perhaps it was people that were getting shot, which happened here, Junior on Periscope, which, by the way, this is being Periscoped. Junior, hey, buddy. He just mentioned the Mall of Murder. Here in Memphis, there was a place called the Mall of Memphis, and it had an ice skating rink in it. It was really cool. Pardon the pun, but it was a groovy spot. And there was a story about somebody who had gotten murdered, and their body was dumped in the parking lot of the mall, and then everything. It was like, oh, it was the Mall of Murder, and it was a big deal. And all of a sudden, people got scared of this thing, and they left it. And it was like a bunch of dumb, panicking animals trying to sort it out. So we figured that going to strip centers was a little bit better of a deal, and that wasn't really good enough. So in wanders the box store, the mega box store, which takes this entire conversation completely back to full circle, and it takes us back into this horrendous place called Walmart. And look what has happened. Now, is that the end all to be all? Absolutely not, because I went into that store and I went into these other stores thinking that I could buy something that I needed. And I wound up buying what I needed, not in any physical brick-and-mortar place. Well, I mean, ultimately, somewhere it is. But I bought it online. And I think that's indicative of the buying power of people that are out there now. This is the death of the retail industry. And it's sad because I feel sorry for people that sit around their kitchen tables at night with their spouses, and they wonder about their dead-end jobs and how effed up all of this is and how they're going to try and pull the money in. And they think, you know, we've got this dream that perhaps we can sell this stuff that we make out of a little store, or we could do this or we could do that. But nobody's going there anymore. No one's going to these places. No one drives to the mall anymore. They could give a fuck about Santa Claus. They could give two shits about dealing with people because they don't know how dangerous it is. You know, movie theaters, as much as I love them, I don't go to them. I have a home theater system. I have the internet. I have whatever, everything that I need. And as a result of that, the only thing that seems to be still standing, because it's there and it satisfies that instant gratification, you know, retail therapy is a lot of the girls that I know will call it. Man, I had her by a day. I'm going to have to go have some retail therapy and then go find a place to drink wine. But that's what they do. They go and they get that instant gratification of finding something that they want to buy, and they buy it whether they need it or not. Online, we don't do that so much, do we? I don't know. Some of you probably still do. But still, when you think about the fact that between social media like Facebook and Walmart, and they exist in the same universe, because I think in all reality they're really kind of one in the same. They attract the same type of folk. It's people that don't give a shit about anybody else, which is good. I admire that. It's people that don't care about themselves. That I don't really necessarily admire, but, you know, to each their own. And they're going to go buy the things that they can buy with money that they don't have, and either give it to people that they don't care about, or they're going to take it home and they're going to consume it themselves. This is the world that has been developed. You know, I worked in television for many years, and there was a very famous speech by a cat by the name of Newton Minow. He's still alive, by the way. He's like 91, 92 years old. Newton Minow, he's the guy that stood before He stood before an audience and exclaimed, if you will, that television was a vast wasteland. And he was correct, and that was in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and that, you know, that's certainly what it is now. And I think that I think the internet has turned into a vast wasteland. The social media certainly seems to be the same way. I mean, because I think we as people, as a generation of people that are connected and tuned in and whatever the case may be, we feel that we got it all figured out. And I don't know that that is the case. And whatever we touch as a society seems to turn to shit pretty fast. So, you know, the vast wasteland thing is, I think, very appropriate, no matter what it may be. A little point of trivia for those of you who might get this. Newton Minow's comment about television being a vast wasteland was immortalized in the television show Gilligan's Island. The name of the boat was the Minnow. A little something for you to remember on that. A lot of you probably already know that, though, because my audience is a smart audience, and that's what you, that's what you are. You stay out of shopping malls, and you do pretty much all of your retail shopping at places like Amazon. Yeah, that's what you do, you know. Because, hey, you know, I was in the market for buying a computer. I needed a laptop. I need a tablet. So what am I going to do? I'm going to research a little bit. You don't just willy-nilly jump out there and buy one, do you? Because you're dropping a couple of bucks on something. Some serious money. You work hard for it. So you got to do your research. You know, here's another thought. I went to Best Buy on top of this. Best Buy is an interesting place, too, because they don't have everything you're looking for. They do. I mean, they to their credit, you know, when they have the display stuff down below, they usually have, you know, in boxes, the stuff that you're looking at. And they have some fairly decent prices. But they know that you're there to satisfy that itch. That itch being that I'm here to drop, you know, $500 to $1,000 on a laptop of some sort. And I'm going to come in here and I'm going to play with this thing and I've done my homework and this is the machine that I want. So instead of waiting the 5 to 8 days for Amazon to cough it up off their delivery truck or whoever's delivery truck, I can go into this place and I'm going to pay a few extra dollars more and have it right there with me, which seems really kind of fucked up if you think about it, because you either pay for shipping to not have to deal with people and deal with the kid in the blue shirt at the Best Buy, or you can go to Amazon, do everything online, not deal with a single human being. It's all done by algorithm. You punch in your credit card thing, and boom, it's done. And then, you know, a week later, it shows up on your doorstep. But the thing is that you get to wander around the house for a week going, I bought a computer. I can't wait for it to get here. So there's that bit of agony. And what really happens a lot of that time is you're building up this anticipation that this thing that you bought is just the perfect thing to have. And this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this with it. I'm going to do that with it. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And then when it finally shows up, you realize that it's really kind of a piece of shit because you kind of got it on a deal and it can't do half of the things that you really hoped it would do. That's what has happened. And it's, I don't know, you learn to live with it. You spend a little bit more time trying to figure out how you're going to buy the things that you buy, and you do what you do. In the process, we have walked away from the shopping mall. We have walked away, or started to walk away, I guess, sort of from strip centers. We're spending all of our time online and shopping there. And when you want to see what Facebook looks like in person, if it were to ever be a place, just park your car in the nearest Walmart parking lot and walk through those doors. And when that second set of doors opens up and you get that whiff of formaldehyde, because that's what that is, by the way, that smell, the new clothes smell, that's formaldehyde. That's your future. And that's what's going to come up. And if that's what you want to see, what Facebook were to look like in person, step into a Walmart, my friend, because that's where that is.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
You heard her. She's sitting here next to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's the lovely Dirty D, Diana Fryer. She's been on the show a couple of times already, a few times, and we're sitting down here in Studio C.
Playing with bumper stickers.
Wait a minute, D. How could playing with bumper stickers be viable for any type of business?
I don't know, but that's all I do.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to do since we don't have any stickers.
I'm almost kind of upset with that whole idea, but at the same time, I'm happy as hell. And I can't even tell you that until we...
Yeah, I can see that. I can see why you'd be happy.
No, it's not even... It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has something to... I can't even. We were supposed to do this podcast except for we could talk. I can't even say.
I don't go into this prepped. You know that.
I can't even say anything. Don't swallow on the first date. I don't care how you went.
Oh, honey. Oh, my God. I've been doing it wrong all these years.
That's right.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. You can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Player.fm, TuneIn, and Stitcher. You can also listen online and download past episodes at radio-memphis.com.
Right, so there you have it. There's this episode from Radioland. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. I wanted to tell you, I mentioned it earlier in the episode, that we have a sponsor for this program that is coming on board here in a couple of weeks. You will be subjected to commercialism. It will happen. You will deal with it. You will accept it. You'll be fine with it. It's no big deal. Nobody cares. People think, oh, it's commercials. Oh, my God, I can't. No, it's fine. You know, part of the magic of what we do around here is we try and match, at least in Radio Memphis, we try and match the our listening audience, and we think we know who that is, to the products that our clients are wanting to sell. So it's not going to be something that doesn't completely unrelate, is not unrelated to you. I promise you'll dig it. It's one commercial. It'll happen at the beginning of the show. These are great people I've gotten to know. You're going to love them. That's all I'm going to say about it right now. That's going to be happening in a week or two. So bear with us as we get closer to that. We have transitioned now from being, we tried the crowdfunding thing. It didn't work. The Patreon thing, please. Podbean had their go at it. It just felt so weird. Hey, man, you like my show? Would you give me a dollar? No, this is programming. People go, hey, man, hey, bro, just put it out there online and it's, free stuff for everybody. Well, it's great. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind producing material and I don't mind having, the stuff laid out there for you. But at the same time, none of this comes for free to you, and that's all well and good. But to get this stuff hosted on the sites that we have it hosted on, and the production of it, you heard me talking about the equipment that has to be purchased from time to time. We have to do these things, and so hey, give a shot to our client that is coming on board. Those of you who do not live in the Memphis area will dig the hell out of this. I can tell you that right now. It's way cool. It's coming soon. So, anyway, in the meantime, thank you so very much for being a part of the program. My thanks to those of you who have been on Periscope. Yes, we Periscope this one for what it's worth. Had a few folks in there, and we'll do it again. It's interesting to do it this way because they get a look at to see how. Now they're not, the ones on the Periscope don't get to see the full final production. If you want to be a part of that, if you want to hear that, subscribe to the show at iTunes. You can also do it at Stitcher. You can also find us at TuneIn. You can find us at a whole bunch of places. You can look for my blog at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. You can also find us where this thing will be hosted for the most part, radio-memphis.com. And on Twitter, look for @FromRadioland. You can write the program if you'd like to. Radioland@PirateRadioStudios.com. Tell us what you think, something you want to see, hear, do, thing, whatever. Hey, it's coming. Drop us a line. And, of course, my many thanks to the place that I work, radio-memphis.com. That's where we host the episodes. We've been up there for, 10, 12, 13 weeks, something like that. So you can find a bunch of episodes there. So, there you go. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Take care of each other. And we'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more audio on demand, go to radio-memphis.com.